LAPD Chief Michael Moore joins us for his regular visit on Air Talk. Of course, he's not in studio with us today, as he is typically. Chief Moore, thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning, Larry.
Let's begin, first of all, with the health of both your sworn force and your civilian employees at the LAPD. How hard hit have you been by COVID-19?
Well, we're managing through it. A lot of protective efforts to try to give our people equipment such as masks, gloves, and goggles, as well as protocols to keep them safe. However, we have been impacted. We've had of more than 532 individuals tested, 57 of our people have tested positive. I'm grateful that the vast majority of them are recovering without requiring hospitalization, though we do have two of our individuals that are in the hospital, and I'm very, very concerned about their recovery. We have had 18 of our people that have recovered, have successfully actually returned to work and surviving this virus. So it's a day-to-day effort. We monitor this each day. We have about 150 of our personnel right now that are at home because of quarantine, or they're symptomatic and we're awaiting test results, or they've tested positive and then again they're just and they're recovering through this ordeal.
Does your staff have access to tests so that your folks can be tested on site, or are they all referred to their own physician or a medical facility for testing?
Well, we're fortunate that we've had the ability to, working with the mayor who's launched a huge initiative in testing Angelenos, they've established a front of a line, if you will, for our first line, first responders, whether it be police, fire, or our medical professionals, so that they can go on any day of the week. They're pre-registered and they are swabbed, and then those test results are reported back so we can understand those that are positive and those that are symptomatic for flus but are not COVID positive. To date, for instance, of the, again, more than 500 people that have been tested, only about 13% have shown positive within for the COVID-19 virus. And so, again, that helps us. It helps the employee in understanding their recovery and what is what strategies to use to either deal with the common flu or to deal with this sinister virus.
Chief, are you able to do with any of the personnel body temperature readings before shifts begin and that sort of thing?
Yes, one of the a number of strategies have been put in place with the onset of this pandemic, including ensuring that we're doubling down on the availability of masks and face coverings, as well as gloves and the use of goggles, changing our protocols in the sense of shutting down front desks for non-essential activities, and instituting outside responses for calls for service where people step outside and we keep good social distancing. And then also monitoring the workplace, encouraging those that are sick, that are symptomatic of the flu, to stay home and not, quote-unquote, tough this out. And we've also instituted in the last few weeks the temperature monitoring of employees as they're in the workplace with infrared temperature monitoring devices at each of our stations.
And you have enough masks for your employees that the department can distribute those, or have you asked officers to provide their own?
No, we have enough at this point. That's one of our primary initiatives within the Department Operations Center, as well as the Emergency Operations Center for the entire city, is the procurement of masks for not just LAPD employees, but for all of our public service workers. And it's one of the tasks that we go after each day is, what do we have in our current stores or inventories? What is our burn rate? What is our consumption of not just face coverings, but surgical masks, and then, of course, the N95s for those first responders that are in close contact with individuals who are symptomatic of the COVID-19. I'm satisfied today. We're in a much better spot than we were 4 weeks ago, but it's something that takes our vigilance each day to ensure that we stay ahead of the curve on this. This is an ordeal that's going to last us for weeks going forward, and those type of personal protective equipment supplies, we need to make sure we protect and have sufficient numbers so that our people use them and are not required to reuse them or go through some of the gyrations we see in the public setting as far as washing or trying to sanitize and reuse what are meant to be disposable devices.
We're talking with LAPD Chief Michael Moore. If you have questions questions for him about law enforcement generally or about the LAPD specifically, you can ask them by calling 866-893-5722. You can post them on the AirTalk page, tweet at AirTalk, or message us on the AirTalk Facebook page. Do you have many of your employees on the civilian side particularly, or maybe even investigators, who are able to work from home now?
We do have a teleworking program. It's a part of the larger city's teleworking program. The nature of our work, however, as a police department, has really limited the availability of that. We have made every effort to allow employees that are at risk, 65 or older, have compromised immune systems, maybe going through a cancer treatment or recovery program, to allow those individuals to shelter at home. If their work assignment is such that we can support them in a home setting, then we're doing that. And so that's where it's a balancing act. However, I'm thankful also for the actions by not just the city, but by our federal government to provide for leave and continued benefits and pay for those individuals that I've just described that are impacted by the COVID-19, either substantially at risk, high risk of that virus, having an increased mortality rate, or those that have come down with it, circumstances, their pay and benefits will continue.
How it looks like this is highly unlikely to happen, given how the curve has been so flattened over these past couple weeks. But if you ended up with a large percentage of your officers and support staff unable to work because of COVID-19, have you run different scenarios, and what sorts of backup could you have?
Yes, we have. We have a continuative operation plan. It's called a COOP. It's part of our emergency response network that we have as a city government. Each of the city departments have that plan. LAPD similarly has that plan. And we've actually activated that plan by some of the things I've already discussed here, alternating the means of which our officers either report to work or are allowed to work from home, changing our enforcement posture in a sense of the number of officers working in the field, the number of uniform officers, realigning from less essential duties to a more public-facing presence, and then going what's called the next stage, which is a mobilization. Mobilization of the organization is the last stage of our ability to amplify or magnify our deployment. It involves canceling days off, recalling people from vacations, and maximizing where people work 12 hours on, 12 hours off. There's just under 600 of our personnel of a force of 10,000 that we have mobilized, where they are working 3 days on and then 3 days off as a means of us tending to the added responsibilities that this pandemic has brought about. And
right.
So far, we have many more levers to pull. We have a great opportunity, if we need it, to more than double our workforce, and I'm hopeful that that will not be the case.
Yeah, hopefully that will not be necessary. LAPD Chief Michael Moore with us coming up. We'll talk about which crimes are down, what types of crimes are increasing as Angelenos stay home, but businesses, for the most part, are untended, and vehicles seem to be more prime for theft as well. It's Air Talk on KPCC, back in 90 seconds. LAPD Chief Michael Moore with us. He joins us regularly on Air Talk to discuss issues with his department and generally in law enforcement. And you can ask your questions at 866-893-KPECC. Chief, let's talk about crime. You know, one of my first thoughts with so many businesses deemed non-essential closing is that you would create some prime opportunities for commercial burglary. And I was wondering, are you seeing increases in that at the same time that maybe home burglaries have become more challenging?
So fortunately, at this point, we've not. Overall crime is down, remains down by more than double digits. And same with violent crime. The one area that we have an increase is what you've referenced, is about a 10% increase in motor vehicle thefts. Commercial burglaries, to this point, we've been able, through outreach and engagement with our business owners, to be aware of those locations and ensure that they have safeguards of security systems and monitoring in place. And then our officers are getting added patrol and attention to those areas as well, recognizing that they are potential prey for those offenders that want to take an opportunity and victimize them further.
So those are specific extra assignments. You've got more officers driving through commercial districts looking for this specifically?
Yes, we've actually, by mobilizing about 50% of our detectives at the area level, as well as those other 500-plus resources I've talked about that are assigned to various functions, being able to really bolster our patrol forces. And so Angeleno should be seeing added uniform presence right now. It's artificially high, but it's meant to take on a variety of functions, which includes this function here, which is being vigilant and mindful that the criminal element may see this as an opportunity, and we want to push back against that and identify them, bring them to the justice system. Again, to date, we've not seen an increase in our crime rate or in commercial burglaries, but we're mindful that could be could occur, and we're going to act vigilantly to keep it from doing just that.
On the car, both theft of cars themselves and burglaries in cars, is part of this because the restrictions on parking have been done away with, so vehicles are out longer and car thieves know that they're somewhat more vulnerable? People aren't coming out to their cars very frequently.
It's one of the things we're trying to look at right now to better understand. Breaking and entering into cars is actually down, along with the other crime crime categories. But the theft of vehicle, the actual theft of taking of it, is up. And it's up about 10%, which is not a huge number because it's such a short period of time. But it's a phenomenon that we didn't expect. And so I've tasked our areas. We have some of the best detectives and investigative groups in American policing, and I've asked them to look into that. We have found that we arrested an individual just two nights ago that we believe was responsible for 16 of those thefts that he was making as a regular pattern, breaking into stealing a car to move about from one part of the city to another, and was a habitual or frequent flyer in a sense of
very successful one.
And we had actually arrested him on more than a single occasion. So he's been in and out of the criminal justice system. But right now it's too soon to see if this is a phenomenon that's related to this pandemic or part of a larger picture that we need to come to terms with as we work to improve public safety here in Los Angeles. What I'd ask all Angelenos is to make sure that they lock and secure their vehicles, that they remove their fobs or other key devices, that they not hide the valet key in the glove box, that they not have a secondary key or leave that key on a wheel well or in a fuel behind a fuel cap. Those are tactics that we see in a congested LA where people want to use those tactics as a means of convenience so their vehicle can be easily moved. And the criminal element learns of those tactics very quickly, and many times or oftentimes those types of lack of security has allowed people to become more easily victimized.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You mentioned the repeat offender who was just arrested. And I was wondering, because the number of people, of course, have been released from jails because of concerns about COVID-19. And so if you had individuals who were supporting themselves with property crimes, residential burglaries, obviously tougher to do now with everybody at home, but cars would kind of be the natural place to do it if someone had that skill set.
Yes, and the current scenario of trying to thin out and downsize our jails is an effort to save lives and to keep people from who are in on a property offense or a low level offense from picking up the COVID virus and losing their life in that ordeal. So it's a balancing, if you will, of public safety, of community safety, and individual safety. And to date, the releases that have occurred have been, I believe, managed in the sense of reducing those that are near the releasing those that are near the end of their sentence, and nonviolent offenders. Now, in that group, you could have and do have auto thieves and others that have committed those type of crimes. And I certainly am sensitive to Angelenos that look at that and go, well, you know, how are you protecting me? This is the sense that we're in today with this pandemic, is we're having to make tough calls to try to balance the needs and the health of everyone involved.
LAPD Chief Michael Moore with us for his regularly scheduled visit. Of course, we are physically distant. Typically, we're in the same studio for our conversation, but you can be a part of it with your questions for the Chief, 866-893-KPECC, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. RTB writes on the page, must be a tough time for shoplifters. Can they get a stimulus check of some kind? Seriously, shoplifting has been on the rise for the past couple of years or so. Have you seen any change in the stats on shoplifting?
Well, currently I have not seen an increase in reported thefts, petty thefts, involving retail operations. The downsizing of retail operations across the city and the region, I would think, would be largely the opportunities are no longer there. You have essential businesses only. There's tight requirements now for entry in and out of those businesses for social distancing. And those are generally natural deterrents, if you will, to a person to try to commit a theft from a store or retail operation.
All right. Chief Moore, also wanted to ask you about whether your department is being called on to enforce the physical distancing stay-at-home order. So if your officers had to intervene and tell people they shouldn't be gathering at certain locations, and has that in some cases led to citation or arrest?
So it hasn't. We are involved in the mayor's Safer at Home directive. It's going to save lives. It's saving lives today. We've seen, as you referenced earlier, a deceleration of the heightening of the bell curve of this pandemic, and that social distancing, people in non-essential businesses staying home, in essential businesses practicing good protective efforts with social distancing, use of protective wear. Those are all good strategies. And the vast amount of Angelenos have shown their better angels and have honored those restrictions. Now, with that, we have had instances of non-essential businesses still operating, more than 1,200 instances in which LAPD has investigated, actually sent uniformed personnel to those non-essential businesses, admonish them. The vast majority have then complied. However, there has been just over 70 instances in which repeated violations, which have resulted in criminal complaints being filed against those operators. And just yesterday, City Attorney Fuhrer announced 10 additional filings, actually going to court against these illicit operations in an effort to hold them accountable and also demonstrate to the larger society that this directive is serious and it needs to be followed. Now, as to non-essential activities, that's where people are playing in a park or associating with each other as they walk down the street, our officers admonish, they direct, they guide, they inform, and that's the posture that we're going to continue. I believe that it's appropriate for us to, as guardians of the public safety, that individuals who are associating with each other and involved in activities that put themselves and others in danger, for officers to be the good stewards of advising them, they need to follow the directive, they need to separate from themselves, and they need to honor that the intent of this is both for their health and safety, but also everyone they come in contact with. And this is probably the most critical aspect of this virus, is that the consequences of those associations don't extend to just that instance, but they extend to all the activities that that individual engages in with family members and others weeks later, which could jeopardize someone who's senior, a person who's got a compromised immune system, a person who otherwise is trying to do and protect themselves, but because they come in contact with an individual practicing good social distancing, it costs them their life.
But it sounds like you're not citing people. Your officers are counseling people, trying to encourage them not to do that.
That's correct. And
okay.
To date, again, we're achieving We're achieving compliance. It's enforcement as far as citing or making arrests, I feel, is not necessary at this juncture.
We'll continue our conversation with LAPD Chief Michael Moore. We'll ask him about concerns over domestic violence with people now at home, and perhaps more difficult for someone who's the victim in a relationship to be able to get attention or help for what she or he are facing. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Back in a minute. Great to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. LAPD Chief Michael Moore is with us to answer your questions about law enforcement at 866-893-KPCC. Or Pippi writes on the page, I want to know what's being done about increased domestic violence during the pandemic, if anything. Chief Moore.
So we are paying very close attention to that. Actually, reported domestic violence instances are down since this pandemic has struck LA. However, we are concerned in talking with our victims, advocates, and survivors of domestic violence that we see an increase in calls to helplines by an increase of 50%, and reports from sheltering services that domestic violence shelters are at capacity. We're working with the mayor's office, who I'm proud of his work in this particular area, where he was able to get philanthropic monies donated that are going to allow us to increase the number of shelter beds for victims of domestic violence so that they have a place to go. We've also instituted a weekly call with domestic violence stakeholders, the community-based organizations, those advocates and providers from throughout this region, to come together and talk about what they're seeing in regards to their portion of this spectrum and how LAPD and the criminal justice system can support the needs of survivors and victims of domestic violence and child abuse, and what undesired impact steps that law enforcement or efforts in dealing with this pandemic may be bringing upon that community, and what we can do to make adjustments so that the people feel safe. And if they are at home, I want to remind the public that LAPD responds, will continue to respond to all emergencies, including instances of domestic violence or child abuse. And if people are unable to call, that we also, our 911 system now takes text messages, and we can respond to those, and we will investigate, and we'll hold people who are preying upon victims of domestic violence, bring them to criminal justice system, and as important, bring those survivors and those victims, get them resources, whether it be protective orders, which have been extended to 30 days instead of a shorter period that's normally prescribed by law, as an effort to protect them, but also to get them shelters and support for them and their family members, so that they don't have to feel that they're locked in at home.
All right. We're talking with LAPD Chief Michael Moore. And for kids, it's, of course, very concerning because teachers are often, through their mandatory reporting, the ones who determine something is amiss at home. With kids not coming to school, of course, that diminishes the opportunities for that sort of intervention to take place. Also, the other side of that is, you know, perhaps I understand that the calls are up to the helpline, but having more family members at home might also be in some way providing protective element for those who are abused in the home. Speeding is a significant issue with so few cars that are on the road these days. Have your officers made any changes to speed enforcement?
Yes, we have. We are now working. Well, we always work with the Department of Transportation to understand traffic movement, traffic behavior in the state of Los Angeles. And while we have seen a reduction in fatal traffic collisions this year versus last, a 17% reduction as of this last week, we are very concerned about the lesser numbers of motorists that we've seen an increase in the average speed on major thoroughfares. Now, the Department of Transportation has taken steps to start controlling the lighting sequence of signals in an effort to slow down the speeding traffic. But they're also now sharing with us the segments, so the areas of the city where those speed increases are being observed. And we're directing our motor officers and other traffic enforcement resources to those corridors to take greater enforcement action in an effort to slow down the public.
All right. We have Silas, who writes on the AirTalk page a couple of things. First, he says, Chief Moore, thank you and your staff for all that you're doing as first responders. And we echo that appreciation that Silas posts. He also wants to know what's happening with homeless encampments with COVID-19.
So the effort of the city is to bring as many people experiencing homelessness into shelters as possible. And last night, we had more than 800 such individuals that are in one of 20 different shelters around the city at our rec and park centers. They're not only getting, not only do they have safe and clean cot facilities, but food facilities, hygiene facilities. We're expanding that with an additional 4 facilities that will be opening up this coming Monday, as well as working with the county, as the county is procuring hundreds of hotel beds and motel beds, another hotel in the downtown area opening today that will also be a location for people experiencing homelessness to shelter. The stark reality is that more than 30,000 people in Los Angeles go each night unsheltered, and these numbers, though, while startling, are being positively impacted by this outreach and engagement by our homeless outreach authorities, Department of Mental Health, Public Health, and then now the providing of these shelters around the city. Lastly, at the end of this week, the city is also taken upon the task of beginning to test individuals experiencing homelessness for the COVID-19 virus. Currently, anyone experiencing symptoms of COVID-19 can get testing at more than 20 sites across the county. The city is completing thousands of those tests a day, but we're actually going to now stand up individual testing sites in downtown Los Angeles and other encampment areas to test for the prevalence of the COVID-19 amongst those persons experiencing homelessness in an effort to identify them and get them help and treatment.
Chief, thank you for being with us. As always, we appreciate it, and our best to you for a healthy period for you and your family as well. LAPD Chief Michael Moore on AirTalk.